Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I'm just in an era where I no longer want to hoard sermons. So I'm going to share something very special with you, and hopefully it will bless you as much as it blesses me. And I'm going to repeat something that I did when I was preaching in London. I'm going to ask you to title the sermon yourself, because these days the burden is too much to be titling sermons. I mean, after 13 years, you start running out of ideas a little bit. I mean, a story is essentially a prayer meeting. If all we did tonight was to pray, we have achieved our aim, right? So I just want to share briefly. Even if I say briefly, you know, I don't know why this clock is showing what it's showing. I'm still the general overseer of this church. And I know if it's a time manual. I don't know what's wrong with it. So it's fitting that since it is tarry, I want to start with James chapter 5 from verse 16 to 18, a text we know very well. James chapter 5 from verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, we are going to come to this, but my approach to giving a commentary on this is going to take a turn that you might not see coming. And that's why I want us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to read two of the most chilling, and I dare say scary, verses in the entire Bible. And I won't be surprised if initially you don't agree with me when you read through what I'm about to read through. In fact, you've read through it many times and it never came across as scary. But when you read closely, there is a chilling lesson there. It's a warning. Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 2. We'll read verse 2 into verse 3. It says, it is 11 days' journey. He told you that for a reason. What he's about to say next, he first predicated by this very important piece of information, and some of you still missed it. It says it's 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of the Mount Seir to Kadesh and Barnea. And it came to pass that when? The 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. Listen to me, in case you didn't track this, a journey that was supposed to take 11 days had taken 40 years at the time of this writing. A journey that was supposed to take 11 days ended up taking 40 years. Permit me to prophesy in our typical charismatic style. Whatever represents delay in your life is broken tonight. Listen, the Lord actually told me clearly. He says several cases of delay will be broken tonight. He told me that. Therefore, I prophesy. Whatever
whatever represents delay, stagnation, retrogression, whatever makes you circle where you should be moving forward, I bring an end to it now. Whatever causes you to spend decades to do what you should spend days doing, I said it has ended tonight. And I use you as a point of contact for your family. Every family pattern of delay is broken right now. God bless you. Please be seated. A journey that should have been measured in days is now measured in decades. The distance was short, but the delay was long. And so we want to start by investigating why. So let's go back to the beginning. God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt by mighty hand, shows them a lot of signs and wonders, brings them to the wilderness, and he's just about to reveal the law to them. Moses is on the mountain talking to God. You know, I was preaching yesterday and I said something. In a generation that is very hasty, we don't know how to wait on God. And this is fitting because this program is literally called Tarry. And one of the things that you must learn in programs like this is how to wait. We are praying long and you're wondering what next. That is what is next. You stay there. It's part of the lesson. You see, God rewires all our sinful cravings to hop onto the next thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me tell you something. Because the children of Israel couldn't wait for Moses, it's 40 days we haven't seen him. You see now? Those who couldn't wait 40 days ended up waiting. And because they were tired of waiting, they began to make idols. And they made a golden calf. And now, this is a very important spiritual diagnosis. If you ever see anybody who cannot wait spiritually, there are idols in his life. Anybody who cannot wait on the Lord has idols. Just the same way you sit before a doctor and the doctor is checking the symptoms. Okay, you've lost appetite. You're feverish. You have cough and cold. This is looking like malaria. We're going to put you on malaria treatment. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, for example. I'm telling you, spiritual diagnosis. You see somebody who struggles to wait. A kind of person that every service is always too long for. Too long. Too long. Cut it short. Make it fast. Listen, such people are running to serve idols. They don't realize it. And I don't mean something literal, like a brazen image in your room somewhere. Anything that takes the place of God in your heart and now makes you indisposed to waiting on the Lord has become an idol. So what the children of Israel demonstrated is actually what a lot of believers do on a daily basis. Whatever you would rather do than pray, do than wait, that's your idol. And more often than not, it is with the very blessings that God gave us that we used to make idols. You realize it was the gold that they got by the favor of God in Egypt that they now gathered together to make. See, I can't tell you how familiar this is, because some of you, the very job you cried for is now the reason why God is crying for your attention. you expect him to understand. The very relationship he blessed you with has become an idol. Are you aware your wife can become an idol? Your husband can become an idol. Can be the very reason you will not fulfill purpose. What I'm saying cuts across different walks of life. Different people at different levels of spiritual maturity. You know, the story I'm about to tell you is not a story that I heard in a tape. I was in the service when Pastor E. Adeboye told this story. He talked about how he got so busy in ministry, he couldn't keep the kind of prayer schedule he was keeping before. And then one day the Holy Ghost came to him. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes warning you like that, the Holy Ghost said, man of God. When the Holy Ghost calls you man of God, I know you are busy. I know you are busy with this great ministry. I mean, when you had just few members, you could spend hours with me. But you are busy now. With the very blessing that God gives you. And then let me tell you something. You may think this is extreme, but a lot of people act like it. When they made the brazen, the golden calf, they looked at it and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Now, you think that's extreme, but check many people who were once fervent, trusting in the Lord, and the breakthrough happened, and they claimed it was God who gave them the breakthrough. Do you realize you can be so prosperous, you are no longer sure? You're now thinking, what if it was my intelligence all this while? What if I was just too religious? What if now you are so exposed, so intelligent, you've traveled, your accent has started changing? Now you look at your past and edit it and say, maybe it was my might all along. There are people who act like this. So because God will not share his glory, he's saying, I've not even brought you into the promised land. You're already misbehaving. So instead of crossing the wilderness, you will circle it. And you know the dangerous part? You know the dangerous part? As they were circling the wilderness, miracles were still happening. Miracles were still happening. Manna was falling every day. Enough to keep them engrossed. Enough to make them not to even sit back and say, listen, this is good, but this is not God's best. Are you listening to me? So some, oh my God, do you know you can show the spirit realm that you cannot handle more? And so this time around, it is not the devil that is causing the delay, it's God. And he's doing it because he loves you, ironically. Because you have shown with how you handled 1 million, that 1 billion will destroy you. So what you are supposed to cross, you are now circling. You are now circling. And guess what? Miracles are still happening. You are still feeling maybe God had already destined that you will own a bank. But because of what is in your account, you are so engrossed. Too busy for God. And you are circling what you are meant to cross. Like I said, miracles were happening. Manna was still falling. 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes did not wear out. And as they were growing, the cloth was growing with them. Did you know that? Miracles. That was a miracle, wasn't it? Now, here's the scary part. Are you ready for this? Throughout the 40 years, they were led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was still divine leading, making them circle. It was still divine leading, making them
circle. So it was God. It was God. God is committed to ensuring you never get any blessing that would derail you. And so they circle until that generation just dies out. And so you now come to Deuteronomy. It is their children, the children who were born in the wilderness. And then, like I've told you before, Deuteronomy literally means the reiteration of the law. Let's go over this thing again. Your parents did not hear. Let's see if you will hear. And he begins to give them instructions. One of the instructions he gives them clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Deuteronomy chapter 11 from verse 16 and 17, just in case you don't understand, you know, the backstory and the context. At the time, they were at a vantage point close to the promised land. They could see the promised land already. But God says, before you enter, let's go over the law again. In chapter 8, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. I'm going to bless you, but you will not live by it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, the school of Deuteronomy is a school that not many people have been through in preparation for success. And until you pass some of those compulsory courses in the spirit, you will remain in the wilderness. And this is one of the lessons. He says, take heed. This is a warning. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. As you get into this promised land, don't do the same thing your foolish parents did. That after bringing them out of Egypt, they now turned around and said, it is the golden calf that brought them out. Now he's saying, don't turn. I can't bring you into a promised land, then you call the name of another god. Is this a fair deal or not? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Give me my flowers. That's all. Verse 17. He said, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heaven so that there be no rain. It was very clear. If you call another god, I will shut up the heavens. Now, guess what? These people get into the promised land. They get influenced by the nations surrounding them. And instead of Yahweh, they begin to call on the name of Baal. And ironically, Baal was, amongst other things, believed to be responsible for rain. So you know what God did? Just said, okay, let's turn off the water faucet and let Baal, whom you call for rain, let him give you rain. I mean, it's very simple. He gives you rain, let's see it. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying here? So this is what brings us to the story of Elijah. It brings us to James chapter 5 verse 17, which we started with, and the quotation about Elijah. So are you tracking with me now? So now, let's move on from this. So, I just explained to you why the heavens were shut in the time of Elijah. And I said all of this to teach two important lessons. Number one, beware of idols. Wait on the Lord. Trust in Him and only Him. And meetings like this, literally called resets, are supposed to quicken your devotional mind to remember who your source is. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from where? From the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. In meetings like this, you are reminded. Not only are you reminded, you tell the Lord, you are my source. You are the one who brought me this far. Not my intelligence, not my connections.
I don't have to learn like Nebuchadnezzar. I know who you are. He's not a man to direct his ways. I'm not that intelligent. Can you take 20 seconds and tell him that you are my source? I trust you. I trust you. Because I proclaim, you are the one backing me up. I proclaim, you are the one making things happen, showing me mercy. You are the one. Hey, you sing it from your heart. You are the one. One more time, say, you are the one. Oh, oh, oh. You are the one. I give you 5 more seconds. Give him the glory to his name. You may have lost some things. It's the reason you didn't lose everything. Give him the glory to his name. Making things happen, showing me mercy. You are the one. Olubeja mio, you are. Yeah. Oramoni shefayati. My glory, the lifter of my head. Thank you, Father. Just say it. Say it's your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. So you learn first and foremost the lesson of total dependence on God, giving him the glory, trusting him every step of your journey. But there is another lesson. You see, when James is talking about this story, he's using Elijah to teach you about prayer. So there is a prayer lesson here, a very important prayer lesson. Pay close attention, just in case it never dawned on you. At no point did God tell Elijah to do what he did. God didn't tell Elijah to shut the heavens. God didn't tell Elijah, hey, see what these people are doing. So here is what I'm going to do. And here is what I'm asking you to do. Pray to me that I shut the heavens. God didn't do that. You know what happened? Just like Daniel, Elijah understood by books. Because he's a prophet, he is jealous for God's integrity, for God's honor. And he sees these people giving the flowers that belong to God to Baal. And then he has read Deuteronomy. Did the word of God not say this? So in the confidence of the word, not that God said, he now comes and says, there will be no rain 3.5 years according to my word. I'm teaching you how to stand on the word of God. It changes your perspective of the story when you realize God didn't. There is no evidence. In fact, James is appealing to his humanity and his sense of free will to say he was a man just like you. It wasn't something that sovereignly God decided to do. A man like you who knows the word of God could stand on the word of God and say, this is what will happen. And something as audacious as there being no rain for 3.5 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? This simple thing will change your life. Oh, so it means, as somebody who believes in the final authority of the scriptures, when I find where it is written, I can now brag like Elijah. So come on, are you getting what I'm saying? This is not a stretch. The book of James is using him as an example so that you can know how to stand on the word of God. He tells you that the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes power available. And he uses Elijah. He said he's a man like you. And so the principle is this: when I see it in the world, I can brag like Elijah. So you thought Elijah could brag because he's a mighty man of God? No. He just had enough simplicity of faith to read it and believe it. Tonight, if you have that same simplicity to read it in the word, what he said about your healing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, who heals all your diseases, all your diseases. You've read it many times, but you did not stand on it like Elijah. You did not. I assure you, Elijah was not the only person who read Deuteronomy. There are not many people who know how to stand on the word of God. I'm telling you, what has God said about your healing that you've been speed reading? What has he said about divine direction that you've been speed reading? What has he said? Come, are you listening to me in this place? Not many people know how to stand on the word of God and be confident and tell a king, no rain will fall in this land 3 years, except I change my mind because of something you read. Because of something you read. And maybe before this teaching, you thought there's a backstory. That, I mean, if an angel appears and says, man of God, this is what heaven wants to do. Now, go and tell the king. You know, you can have that kind of confidence. It's a totally different understanding and faith to simply read it. Oh, okay, so think about it. Daniel also had no encounter. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books. I just read it. And that was enough. So there are things you can read and your life will never be the same again. In this same Bible, see what people are doing with the word of God. So something Daniel read drove him into prayer. I'm explaining the protocol of prayer now. It means there are some things you read and you begin to pray and angels will show up in your room immediately. Your prayer just has never been this aligned before. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
what expectation did you come here with? Someone else has seen it in the word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Somebody who just came because it's a vigil, oh, I would rather just come than be at home. And somebody who came with that kind of meditation, they are not the same. It is one thing every morning to just carry in your heart, oh, let it be well with my family. But somebody has seen Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. What are you standing on? That's what I'm asking you. What are you standing on? You keep going from place to place for some preacher to pray for you. What are you standing on? He's telling you the prophet you are following is a man like you. Don't forget. He's a man like you. Apart from election of grace and the call to ministry, he stands on. the world. And he's saying, if you do what Elijah did, you will see what Elijah saw. Stand on the word. And let the revelation of the word drive you to prayer, like it drove Daniel. Let the revelation of the word drive you to prayer. So, somebody read something and then went, locked his head in between his knees and prayed it down. And when you learn this, you can do and undo. You prayed, there was no rain. Then he prayed again, then rain fell. I said, when you learn this, you can do. He did it, then undid it. In case you thought the first one was fluke. And then you now send someone to the king. Run. I hear the sound of abundance. Ah, by this, elders obtained a good report. You are writing your own faith story tonight. Kai. And I, same progression, still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe your word is sufficient for me. And I still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe your word is sufficient for me. Can you sing that twice? Say, and I still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe your word is sufficient for me. If you can't sing it, what? Let me hear you. Just one more time. And I, come on. And I. He says, Elijah was a man like you. About that, he's letting you know, don't think that you are exempt from the degree of results in his life. He's a man like you. He's letting you know it's possible in your life. There is a way we call it in where we come from. Elijah was a man like you. If you pray like he prayed, you will see what he saw. These are the days of revival. These are the days. I said something is shifting in your life tonight. You are about to catch a word tonight. Catch a word that will change your story forever. Few minutes. I'm going to hit a climax now. Now pay attention to this. So, stay away from idols. Stand on the word. Let the word drive you to prayer. But there is also a kind of prayer. Elijah didn't just pray. He prayed in a particular way. The Bible called it heartfelt, continued. I've told you before, if it does not change you, it can't change your situation. It must be heartfelt, continued. It has to be passionate. It has to be fervent. It's not just charismatic exuberance. Oh, these Pentecostals are here again. Elijah prayed that way. It's not a denominational preference. Elijah prayed that way. Jesus prayed with passion. He stood before Lazarus's tomb and he cried with a loud voice. You are not more sophisticated than Jesus. Some of you, you pray, but your prayer lacks burden. That's what's missing. It lacks weight. It has not been mixed with enough faith, enough passion. That's another thing that you must get right. Heartfelt, continued. Why do we pray long? Heartfelt, continued. Why does it have to be a vigil? Heartfelt, we've gone 2 hours. What are we trying to prove? Heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Maybe you're just not angry enough. You know, I read a story that Hannah had been trusting for a child for a long time. Let me tell you something. Some of you have been missing something. There are things in your life you've been tolerating until somebody you thought was sent by the devil, but who was actually sent by God, now provokes you. Hannah might have been trusting for that miracle all her life, except for the fact that the other wife was wicked and won't just let her be and kept mocking her. Sometimes there is something the mockery does to us. It finally gets and bets the level of anger that we need. Because there will always be people like Elkanah who will console you out of anger and say, am I not worth to you more than 10 sons, Baba? No, whine me. No, they whine me. No, they whine me. If she allowed that consolation, she would have stayed there. She had had enough. I said she had had enough. And so she went into the temple, the same temple they've been going every year. This year was different. She had been praying every year, but this one was different. She was angry. She was mad. She was drunk. Even the priest, full of the spirit, saw and said, come, are you drinking wine? Because her posture was different. Her lips were moving fast, but they were not hearing anything. And the Lord said to his prophet, I've heard your petition. Not every prayer is a petition. Some of you have never petitioned in your life. You've never come to God standing on business. You've never, 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 not angry enough. Tonight, you go vex. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you see, these are the things that sometimes even provoke the anointing. It was her posture that attracted the prophet. That said, what's going on here? Are you getting what I'm saying? There might have been other people praying. When you're praying casually, you know, the kind of prayer the prophet had to say, what is happening here? Come on, are you listening to me? Don't think because it's the will of God, it will happen. I've told you that. More often than not, you have your part to play. I will show you a text that will change your life forever. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. If you read this and we spend the rest of the time angry and praying, my mission would have been accomplished tonight. I brought out a reboot camp sermon and gave you. There must be a reason. You know what God is telling you? Don't wait till December. Get it now! Are you listening to me? He says, I have set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silence and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God is giving you permission to give him no rest. You're not angry enough. Your life is the way it is, and heaven is resting. You're not angry enough. Where are the set watchmen? Where are the watchmen? Maybe you are the watchman that God has anointed for your family. He says, day and night, no rest. Are you listening to me? No rest. There is a prophet in you seeking expression, waiting to arise. He says, let the watchman arise. Don't wait another 6 months. It ends tonight. What is this pattern that I see? I prayed about it casually, but tonight, no more, no more, no more. We need set watchmen who will say, devil, not this far, no more, no more, no more, no more to untimely death. No more to strange patterns of sickness, near success syndrome. No more to strange vices, cutting short men in their prime. No more. No more. No more. The heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man makes power, power, power. Satalabara, Randa Labalade, Shanda Rabataile comprende le boha, Sataka Batake, Lente Kepele compra, Satalabara, Razondoro Baladada, Rendele Belenua, Asanda Labaladegebe, Shande Rebeledege, Roto comprenda Rabalelo, Esande le Pelende, Le Papa Papa Papa, Papa 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 Papa. Borande, Borande, Asande Lembele, Asande.
Rafila, ese tombre, le tombre, ande que tombra, catataya, chanderauba, ese, until Emmanuel Irena, be established as a praise on the earth, until Celebration Church, be established as a praise on the earth. Where are the workmen? Where are the workwomen? Stand upon your work. See what he will say. Insist. Remember, heartfelt. Continue. Fervent. 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 Asile. Setele manikaya. Shanderaide. Sondom praskava. Alle comprende le cura. Palendehe. 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 Lengom praskava. Jande rebele toko prende kabaya. Palande rebele toko pre. Reso toko prende le baha. Randa la balada gabaya. Janda rabalada gabaya. Rata da 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 ka. Landa kabaka toko prende le be. Rusete kebele toba. Papa tongre. Lengom prende la bokre kaile. Sutu city. 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 Asatile randa la balada gabaya shanda rabala bakaba in Jesus mighty name we pray. Just one more text, then I'm going to drop the microphone. You go on for 1 hour before the program continues. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 37. Anyone under the power, just help them gently to the floor. It says, thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I want to do it, but I'm letting you ask. You didn't hear me. I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I want to do it, but they will ask. This is what some people don't understand about the balance of the sovereignty of God. The sovereign God has determined that there are some things that will only happen in your life if you would partner with him and say, enough. You are waiting for God to do it. He's waiting for you to ask. Tonight is your night. Take a posture. 60 minutes. Focus on that issue. Focus on that issue. Stop waiting for Elijah to come and minister to you. Elijah was a man like you.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.